Welcome to a Faith Walking Conversation. In this first episode, we will listen to Mike and Sherry Meyer-Vean, Ken Schumann, and other faith walkers as they explore the impact of perfectionism in their efforts to practice integrity in their lives. The conversation was originally recorded in December of 2019. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join the conversation.
Until I see the Christ in you.
So we're invited into the space to keep walking, to keep living out our values of authenticity, integrity, curiosity, courage, love. We gather as lifelong learners and we respect the process and respect it in each other, that we could be a non-judgmental space, make room for each other's processing and self-discovery and reflection, and listen deeply for understanding, and that we allow space for silence and reflection as we're able, and that we seek to be a safe place for each other. To me, that means that we're allowed to be and to process whatever is on our mind, and that's not right or wrong, it just is, and that we engage that work in each other, trusting the Holy Spirit to keep guiding and leading each one of us. The chosen topic for tonight comes out of some conversations we've been having in the New York Faith Walking Circle, and I really want to give credit to the whole New York team in this. If you were taking a Faith Walking 101 in the New York Faith Walking Circle, you would hear about, and there's Mike right there, of integrity. And in that, you might see some of these particular slides, actually. And so we were practicing in our presenter circle a conversation about integrity, and it just led to a great conversation that I wanted to bring to the rest of the whole Faith Walking community as we think about the ties between integrity and perfection and perfectionism in general. So some of the slides that you may or may not have seen before is an introduction to what is integrity, to the Faith Walking understanding of integrity as a sense of workability, the working of things according to their intended design, God's shalom, how that comes into it, our role in joining God in the wholeness that God seeks to create. We are invited to give and honor our word as God creates with God's word, our words create worlds. So in light of God's action, God's integrity is the understanding that our words create worlds, that we are co-creators with God. I'm assuming that, and I may be assuming falsely, that these are all concepts that you have heard before in some way or another. And so as we were talking about this and coming to this place of talking about giving and keeping our word and honoring our word, we know that we're going to be giving our word to big things. So if we are giving our word to really big things, we know that there will be times where we are unable to keep our word. And so this sense of what is it within us that has such a hard time making that mental model shift to recognizing we will fail. We know that failure is a part of our learning and growth and a part of what God leads us into in future successes, so to speak, things that we know, but yet we have a hard time living into. And how is it that we have this tendency within ourselves to kind of keep letting perfectionism sneak into our way of being such that it keeps us stuck, keeps us stopped, keeps us actually from living our integrity? So the conversation as we had it was to recognize that we say when we fail to keep our word, knowing that we're going to fail. So the purpose of giving and honoring our word is not to achieve perfection. It's about growing our capacity to live the fully human, fully alive life of joining God on mission in the world through giving our word to big things and honoring our word without shame. So let me share with you, when we talk about what are we talking about in perfectionism, I find often that Brené Brown quotes are especially helpful. So Brené Brown writes, "Perfectionism is a self-destructive and addictive belief system that fuels the primary thought, if I look perfect, live perfectly, and do everything perfectly, I can avoid painful feelings or shame, judgment, and blame." That perfectionism is self-destructive simply because there is no such thing as perfect. It's an unattainable goal. And that additionally, perfectionism is more about perfection. We want to be perceived as perfect, which is unattainable. And there's no way to control that. So we can see and come back to the realization of how this touches on a lot of vows for us. And also that it can be an addictive pursuit because we invariably do experience shame, judgment, and blame. We often believe it's because we weren't perfect enough. So we see the self-perpetuating cycle. We can see the harm of the ism in that it keeps us from living into our integrity, as I just mentioned, and it keeps us from increasing our capacity. It gets us stopped. It keeps us from stepping into the big things that we know God wants for us, as well as can wreak havoc in all areas of our life. And I have some great examples of how my perfectionism actually came into play in even bringing about this keep walking and the many integrity gaps that I created, and that this was an idea that we had many months ago in the New York Circle and that I had taken on and then not done anything with because I'd gotten stopped in one way or another. So then we want to think about how that practice of stepping into our integrity and of following the practices of integrity can help us in letting go of perfectionism. When we think about the aspect of getting close to the impact of the ism on our life, and the areas of harm that have been created because we've been lost in this mindset and train of thought, and of which then helps shift us back to the more appropriate mindset of God's love and generosity and grace and goodness, and of hearing the good and big things that God is calling us into. So I've thrown a lot at you very quickly. I almost feel like we need to maybe have a couple moments to process and as you take a deep breath and think about what is integrity and how you see perfectionism relating to that and what has been stirred up for you and in you. I know this is the constant battle within me of it doesn't have to be perfect. Can let go of that, of what is the form of perfect, I would say, that we're looking for as we think theologically of what perfect actually means. I'm often saying as a pastor, God doesn't call us. God's form of perfection is staying perfectly connected. God calls us to be perfectly connected in seeking the wholeness of as our sense of definition. So I have some reflection questions for you as we think about all of this. And what does this stir up in you? How does your own perfectionism manifest itself and keep you from being the fully alive you that God intends? And how can living more into your own integrity help you keep perfectionism at bay?
So feel free, folks, as you are ready to speak, just unmute your mic and dive in. I can do that at any time. Lots of stuff got stirred up for me, but I want to be patient. Especially since it's Advent, and wait on you. So any of you dive in and go first.
Well, in all this for me, I'm just aware of my patterns around this that I had from my first formation, in that perfectionism for me wants to bypass the integrity process. I'm a hider by nature, so part of me wants to say, all right, I made a mistake. I'm going to go away by myself. I'm going to figure out what I did wrong, how to be perfect, and then I'm going to reemerge transformed. And so not do any sort of work that brings me into potential shame or rejection. I'm going to just quickly fix this, and then everything will be better, and people will not even have to know that I made a mistake because I'm going to fix it, and there will be my perfection. And I got to a point in my life where I just kept trying that over and over and over again. And the story I told was, all right, I just need to keep trying harder, and just dug bigger holes for myself. But what I'm just aware of in all this is that when I first heard the integrity talk and the honoring our word process, it terrified me. And it terrifies me less, but it still terrifies me, because there's just so much bits of shame and rejection tied up into this. And so part of me, to what I love about what Sherry shared, is just that piece of how do I get to a place of seeing the honoring our word just as a process of growth, not as a shaming place or I already feel bad, so here's the stick and beat it up again by sharing the impact, but just to say, here's where I'm going to actually, it's a process of growth. And I think that's still a big mental model shift for my own life. So I'm just aware of wanting to make that shift, but just not being there yet. But I appreciate and I love the idea of it being part of the growing process.
Mike, I'm totally with you. And I like the way you succinctly said that. Honoring our word is a process of growth. I think even as I say it, the practice of honoring our word is a part of the process of growth. Really is helpful for me. Things always get stirred up for me, folks, and I take notes, so I'm writing as we go. One of the first things, though, Mike, as you were talking about your own journey of perfectionism, what got stirred up for me is probably one of the greatest growth areas for me is being honest about my own feelings, particularly the feelings of anger. Because my need to be perfect is, I'm not supposed to be mad, right? I'm not supposed to get angry. And so then I fake it and act like I'm not angry. I'm really angry. And then I process and I deal with it. And then I stuff it down because I'm not supposed to be angry about anything. And my need for perfectionism then is inauthentic. You know, I just show up as inauthentic then because I don't acknowledge my real feelings.
I can relate to a lot of what actually all three of you have said, because what I find myself doing is in an effort to keep my word, I just don't give my word. I just hold it back. And if I know for sure, then I will give my word, because there's not any question that that I'll follow through. I just don't often give it. So I can really understand the sort of subtle distinction between the keeping and the giving, or the sort of the verbiage that you were using, because I too, shame is a big part of my everyday life and sort of just a part of my process. And so if I don't keep my word, even after I have made amends or even after I have cleaned it up, I still hold it, and I still have a hard time figuring out how to let go of that shame just within myself. So that definitely resonates with me. And something you said, Ken, really resonated with me too, and that's sort of feelings of anger, or like in my life I have a really hard time with boundaries, and so when I feel like I have set a boundary and it's been crossed, and I feel justified in my anger, then in some situations, like, it can't be resolved. And so like right now, I feel like I'm having to live in a situation where I don't feel like I'm living in integrity, because I feel like I'm mad all the time. And like, I'm not, like, my boundaries have been crossed, and I haven't, I'm not ready to take the next step forward. And so I just feel like I am living in anger, and I don't know how to be in that place in a healthy way where I can be true to the integritous person that I feel like I am. So I just sort of feel stuck a lot. And that's kind of what that brings up in me. And then I think on top of the stuck, just like the frustrated that I'm still stuck, however much longer, you know, that it's been, because I'm the kind of person who, I'm determined, and I, you know, like, I'm very goal oriented and I am very forwardly moving. And so when I feel like I, for, you know, 100 million circumstances, when I feel like I'm not being that person, then I just feel frustrated and angry.
I hear you naming, Chris, some of the, what I was trying to explain, how we get ourselves in these self-perpetuating cycles, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so sort of the pondering is, what role is perfectionism playing? And in what role could integrity play as you're able, as you very clearly described that you see your cycle?
And some of that for me too, Sherry, I was so glad that you connected our need for perfectionism with shame. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm discovering in my own life is, the more I work on my shame voice, the more I dress my shame voice, the more I, the more I'm really convinced deep within myself that I am enough no matter what, then the less anxiety gets created in me about perfectionism. And that in itself is a long, slow journey, but I really do believe that dealing with shame, addressing our shame, growing in our sense of enoughness really helps us then be okay with being less than perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I've noticed in coaching, with faith walking, both in myself and as I coach others, is just coming to a place of realizing that we all have some sort of struggle with worthiness. We
right.
all have some sort of struggle with control. We all have some sort of struggle, and I would say with perfectionism, and they each manifest. And then we could probably add with trust, with, you know, there's several things that we can add in there that seems like we all have some form of it. It just is unique to us and how we experience that and in what that means for us. And that any of the, you know, progress on any of those seems to help all the others as well.
And yeah.
In being able to see what's there.
Right.
And we all have a shame voice, and learning to acknowledge recognize, and see how that manifests within us. And this is learning between us and I, and Mike can tell his own story as he's here. but we used to say, oh yeah. I used to say, oh yeah, Mike sees shame as a key factor in his life. And I see it as really significant too. But that's his thing. And, you know, then the more I got into it, the more I realized, oh, you're just really denying the fact that yours just looks different, but it's still there. Very much so. And started opening myself to realizing what my own shame voice looks like.
Yeah, as you all have been talking, I've been thinking about, lately I've seen my shame voice pop up in a different way. And I think that I didn't identify it as a perfectionism, but it really is. So I would have an interaction with somebody and it would cause some feelings in me of whatever, annoyance, anger. And I would have this sense that what I need to do is understand why this particular event triggered me. And then if I had a good understanding of why I was annoyed, then I would, my annoyance would go away and I could be more loving. And so I would investigate my feelings of annoyance or anger. And so that works like partially, but what I'm seeing is that I'm actually feeling some shame for feeling annoyed and angry. And that actually, if I sort of honor my annoyance and my anger, then my annoyance and anger actually decreases when I acknowledge it and say, yeah, there's some legit reasons why you're annoyed and angry. And it's, and then I can come to a place of like, okay, so where do boundaries come into this? And, you know, and so like, but it's interesting for me to see how shame and perfectionism were showing up in my feelings and not thinking I was feeling the right feelings. Yeah. And I totally love, like, I'm going to write it really big somewhere. God defines perfect as being perfectly connected. Although I may have to change the perfectly connected to another word besides perfectly connected, as like gracefully connected. But yeah, that's a much better expectation on yourself than than a lot of the other expectations.
It's interesting, Linda. There's a I don't know where it is because I haven't done it recently. But if you go do word study on the word perfect in the Bible, there's actually a connotation of perfect that means wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what he's getting at, is wholeness.
Yeah.
We think it's sinlessness, but it's really, yeah, it's wholeness. Go ahead, Sherry. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, lots of places. And that's where that actually comes from, is from the Hebrew understanding.
Right.
Perfection is complete, is another word that could be used interchangeably in the English translation, and which means what it means is whole. It means that sense, not so we have this, is to recognize the ism is a distortion that we have made in our humanness to have to that perfect means something different to us than how it was originally understood in the Hebrew context and how God intended. So one of the other slideshows that I had up used that, be perfect as your Father is perfect, just which may be where you're drawing off of.
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yeah, and I feel like culturally we use the concept of perfectionism as a, it's really about self-protection. If I can just show up perfect in, you know, name your category, then I kind of prevent people from hurting me or coming too close or whatever it is. But it's a it's a protection strategy, I think.
Yeah.
And then in that wholeness, I find fascinating, and it was Andy Kotzbaum who brought in that mathematical equation in the in our pondering integrity, that integrity comes from integer, which means a whole number, in that sense of wholeness. Map back full circle to the integrity and thinking of God creating with God's word, and reconciliation work that we are called into with God's word. I don't know who's on the phone. Would you like to say something?
I'm assuming that's me. My name is Sarah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I actually had a thought, and I think it relates to what we're saying. And then maybe you guys have run up against this. But when I began faith walking, I kind of could see that perfectionism was a thing, very present in my walk, or in my life. And so I kind of, gained some ground over that, gained some awareness and things like that. And as I've kind of been out of faith walking for almost a year now, doing a recovery program at our church. And now that I'm kind of getting back into it, I'm starting to see that I feel like what I'm doing is projecting perfectionism onto others. Like my expectation is that people show up in an exact way that I want them to. And that's been a new thing for me. Anyway, that's kind of where I've landed lately.
Thank you for sharing that, Sarah. I think is a really helpful observation. And I too, one of the strains of thought I had to share with you, but didn't want to throw everything at you. It's what I see in the tie of my own tendencies towards overfunctioning, which I see as part of projecting as well, and of expectations onto others, related to the perfectionism that I see within myself as well. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. While I was watching Sherry and also Ken speaking, perfectionism came to my mind as something that has been a struggle in my own life in the English language. As English is not my first language, I have struggled with perfectionism because as I don't speak a perfect English, this has been something that maybe the enemy has used to hold me to grow and to be more used by God, because I always think, as my English is not perfect, how can I be used in this country? So sometimes this kind of thoughts comes to my mind, and this conversation this evening was very helpful for me, because I need to understand God's purpose in my life, and He can use me even with my accent, even with my English that is not so perfect as you guys. And this is why I am here. As I said in the very beginning, I attended faith walking 4 years ago, and I stopped the process. And I think one of the reasons that was not so conscious for me, maybe it was in my unconscious, it was this issue of language. But I cast this before God, because I want to grow, and I come to this country to be used and to with a mission, to live a missional life. This is my call. Mm-hmm. And this conversation was very helpful, because I can have a clear understanding that perfectionism in the language area of my life should not hold me to fulfill God's plans in my life.
Awesome, Neto. Awesome, buddy. Really, really good. And I want to say to you, though, brother, that there are many of us that are native English speakers, and we still don't speak English very well.
Thank you. This comforts me a lot.
Yeah, good. One of the thoughts that got stirred up for me when Sherry was talking, and it led to two thoughts, and one of them is there's a leadership principle that we teach called creative tension. And creative tension is where we hold intention intentionally a clear picture of current reality, held up against a clear picture of, and we say it this way, God's preferred future for our life or wholeness or whatever the goal is. And we hold both of those clear pictures in tension with each other. So what that means is when there's tension, it's also going to generate anxiety in us. And what's true of leadership is true of us personally. So around this idea of dealing with the struggle for perfection, what happens for me is when I'm imperfect, I either work harder and try to, you know, make myself perfect, or I just give up and quit. Okay, I can't do it. I'm never going to attain it. I'm never going to be able to do this. And this idea of creative tension is a discipline of holding those two things in tension long enough that current reality begins to move toward the vision. And that happens in leadership, but it also happens in my life individually. And what I find in myself is where my biggest struggles are I don't want the tension, right? I don't want any tension. I don't want, okay. And so I either give up on the vision or I pretend like current reality isn't what it is and that I'm better than I am. And so the other idea that came to me is, and this is a key idea in faith walking and in the work we do. So in order to maintain that tension, what I have to do within myself is I have to increase my own pain tolerance. I've got to increase my capacity for the discomfort that comes in the tension that I hold between my current reality and where I want to be, if that makes sense. And so, Sherry, as you were talking, all of that got stirred up in me to say, yeah. And so one of the practices and a big takeaway for me is I've got to continue to increase my pain tolerance to say, I'm okay with imperfection. Not that I want it to always be there, but that, okay, I am imperfect. I'm on the journey and it is part of the growth and I can maintain the tension.
Amen. And the title of Brené Brown's book that those quotes were taken from is Gifts of Imperfection. Mm-hmm. Gifts of Imperfection. So we see within ourselves that our imperfections, we look at them enough and to become aware that it is actually a gift. But yeah, I love that you came back to, which has been a really important conversation for us, which is the capacity conversation, increasing pain tolerance and increasing capacity. And that's an important part of how we understand integrity and that we have these gaps, which Chris, you did a really great job of describing the tension in yourself, right? I'm going to end up the fear of living a really small life because we're not giving our word to big things because we're afraid of what happens and are getting stopped by perfectionism and all those other things when we're only giving our word to the things that we can foresee. And knowing that God is calling us into this bigger reality, and how is it that we increase our capacity for that and know that it's going to mean failure, it's going to mean pain. And as Mike was saying about and being able to face that pain, grow in our ability to get close to impact and not run away from it. And I think that's an important way of saying everything we've been trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Earlier when you were talking about wholeness and can't remember the other thought that triggered that. The word that was coming to my mind was abide, because in a study I was talking about last night, we were looking at, you know, how if you're abiding as the branch and then, you know, you'll create the good fruit, but your job isn't really to create the good fruit. It's really just to abide. And so that was kind of making me think too of the completeness and the wholeness that you know, our job is really just to stay in the vine and then let the vine, you know, grow where it will. And so it's not the fruit of the labor that's the issue. It's the staying, staying close.
Good.
Yeah. And that sense of movement in and with God, and that the result of that, we're measuring that based on God's measures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that it's okay to be uncomfortable, because if you're abiding, then that's, you know, you're doing the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Part of the struggle for me also, and I don't know why I was even thinking about this. I haven't thought about this in years, but it popped into my head today. For me, at least in my first formation, part of my first formation formed me with a need for perfection. And where I went to was, I remember going to summer camp, and in my religious heritage, we went to boys' camp, and so it was all the boys, and they had a star camper. Out of all the boys, one person gets selected as the star camper, and there were these things that you had to do. Well, I'm competitive enough then, it became, okay, I've got to be the star camper, you know? And there's something in that for me that continues to drive. And I think it's connected to shame, my not enoughness, that I prove my enoughness when I get to be the star camper, or when I'm number one. And somehow in the culture, we just create this deal that, okay, yeah, only the best get recognized, only the perfect get recognized. So therefore I want to pretend like I'm perfect so that I'll get recognized. That's probably the most clarity I can come with all of that, but I'm thinking about that tonight too.
I think that's really profound to bring it back to and loop in competition and with this conversation, because I had in my own journey the coming to a place of realizing how competition and competitiveness had become a harmful thing in my life, and realizing that's not what God wants at all. And how do I let go of that and not let that distract me? But it is absolutely how competition becomes a part of the perfectionism, becomes a part of the things that lead us away. And that is true, that it is all identity issues, right?
Mm-hmm. It is for me. Can't speak for anybody else, but it is for me.
And I think that when you bring in competition with your perfectionism, then you're roping in other people, right? And you're roping in like an even bigger circle of things that are outside of your control.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And it becomes a dehumanization of the competition, right? Because no longer are we all able to flourish together. No longer are we able to appreciate everyone's gifts. It's just the one or the top or the this or the that. I think in this hour, we're going all around the faith walking loop, huh?
We might as well talk about every principle.
I know. So I was like, okay, we haven't said anything about... Thank you so much for this time and this space. And can I pick on Mike to close us in prayer?
I would love to. God, I'm just grateful for this impromptu learning community to experience and hear the work of transformation that's ongoing in each of our lives. And just ask in this Advent season and in the seasons to come, you would just continue to bless our desires and longings and workings for transformation, Be with us in our struggles of perfectionism and in the giving and honoring of our word. May you continue to grow in us just the joy of being your beloved children, that we may live imperfectly and grow into the people you created us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening. Until I see the Christ in you. Till I'm looking through the eyes of love. Till I'm looking through the eyes.